Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning post-snowstorm. So Baruch Hashem, we were able to get out this morning. Some very nice learning prepared, so let's have some Torah to warm us up, even though the temperature is going up this week. Right. You never thought we'd be so happy for the 30s and the 40s, but it's going to feel like spring. Let's begin with the Tefillah Al-Hadibra. Ribono shel olam, yiratzon lefanecha al rachem v'chanan, shetezakeni hayom uvechol yom lishmar pi ulishoni milashon hara urechilus, ve'ezaher melidaber afilu al ish yachid, v'kol shekein al klal Yisrael, o al chelek mekem, v'kol shekein mel Yisraim al midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'ezaher melidaber divrei sheker, chanufa mechlokas ka'as gai, ve'onas dvarim, habanas panim, leitzanus v'chol dibur asr, v'zakeni shelo ledaber, ki im davar hatzarich, inyane gufi v'nafshi, Amen. We are learning the Yidui Nishmas and the Zeichu Nishmas, Tzvi Gershom and Yoav Vachana. Allah Vashalom is Nisham should have an aliyah in the merit of our learning, and also Zchus Rufur Shleima for Bracha V'Gaya Bas Rachel Gita, Zoch Sh'Acha Leisa. So I want to just start with something that I actually found this. I read a Rut Shava from time to time. That's not true. I check it daily. So I found this a couple of weeks ago. And I sent myself an email to remember to start this class with it. And I even showed it to the kids. Pizzeria customer pays over $5,000 for Facebook defamation. That's the title of the article. Okay, and there's a picture of pizza. Okay, an Israeli woman who shamed a pizzeria on Facebook will pay 18,000 shekel, which is about $5,000, in fines, Nazareth Magistrate Court ruled. The woman, a resident of Nazareth, shamed Migdal HaEmek Italkia Pizzeria on Facebook. She wrote the pizza was, quote, gross. She caused the owner to his income and damaged his reputation. She harmed my business, T, the owner said. This is a business that I built myself with my own two hands. I built it from scratch. Listen, and here, a few words typed on a keyboard ruined it for me. It was very unpleasant. We are a small town. This is irreversible damage. The story began 6 months ago. She ordered a Nis 50 shek pizza with 8 toppings and tomatoes. It wasn't ready on time. She complained it was inedible and soggy. This is everything she wrote on Facebook. And she promised never to buy from the store again. At least the cats will enjoy it, she wrote. She refused T's offer. We offered to refund it. He offered a new pizza. However, he would not deliver it to her home. She said he should come pick it up. She vented on Facebook, slammed the pizzeria. She described it as gross. She used the hashtag gross and hashtag Italica hashtags. Later, she deleted the post. But what do we always say about Lashon Hara? It doesn't matter if you try and retract. Once it's out there, you can't take it back. The woman's Facebook post brought T to his knees. He saw he had to sell the pizzeria at a loss. He had to sell the pizza shop at a loss. He said his customer added untrue details to the story in an effort to make it seem worse than it was. He originally sued for 100,000 shek. He received 15,000 shek in compensation plus 3,000 in court costs. In addition, the judge ordered her, this woman, to publicize the court case and the ruling on her Facebook page. But the damage is done. His whole parnassus is ruined. His whole store had to close because she wrote, it's gross and the cats will enjoy it. He would have withdrawn the claims, T says, if she would have come to court and apologized. The main point is the lesson. I hope people will learn the lesson. You should not rush to destroy people and business with offensive posts. Facebook is very powerful. It's not a children's game. But of course, it's not Facebook. It's what, I mean, in this venue, it was Facebook, but it was that. The power of speech, it happened to be typed up. So I gave it to the kids. So I said, I gave it to my video. Here, just take a look because I want everyone to see how important that is. And so when I showed it to one of the almost 12ers, so I said, you see how dangerous Lashon Hara is. So he said, you see how dangerous Facebook is. He's all this stuff. But the real point is that it's not, it happened to be Facebook. It could have been WhatsApp. It's such a Mr. Haskell for all of us. It's such a huge, he had to sell his business at a loss because one woman took to the World Wide Web to say how bad his pizza was. It's an unbelievable lesson. And even if she deleted it, it doesn't matter. The damage was done. And that, isn't that true of words? When you send the WhatsApp, let's say I'm not on Facebook. It doesn't matter. I have WhatsApp. I have text message. I have email. When you send it and you press send, it doesn't matter. You sent it. You can't take it back. And it's a very frightening and strong Mr. Haskell for all of us. Okay, so that's how I wanted to begin. The next thing I want, any questions or comments about that? Scary. And also, that's why they say, you know, that Lashon Hara kills. And Ani's Nechshav Kameis, and here this man had to sell his business because of this woman's post. It's very scary. Next, I want to talk about a couple things on last week's parasha. You read it?
Yeah.
Scary, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Say it again.
No, not only that, he offered to give her another, it was really not nice.
Really slander.
Yeah.
Really slander. Isn't that what we learn about? Try and learn about the practical applications of slander. She got a bad pizza. Motzi Shema, she destroyed the man's whole business.
She must have something, she must not be 100%.
She must have what? Like a chip on her shoulder?
Yeah, something
like
that.
Upset,
expect
something.
Yeah, but meanwhile, so, we could try and find all sorts of excuses to say why she did it. The bottom line is, what did she do to this other man?
Yeah,
she ruined him. So we have to really take, it's a very strong, practical, applicable, timely, relevant Mr. Haskell for all of us. Yes?
No, there was a story. One of my daughters had a roommate that she had a lot of problems. And somebody was looking to my daughter, for a shidduch. They heard that she was a roommate from her from seminary. So she called up this girl, not knowing that she has a lot of problems, issues. So she was saying terrible things about my daughter that were not true.
This girl was saying things?
Yeah. Anyway, so it came back to my daughter because the person that was looking into it went back to the shachin, who was good friends with us, and told us that this person is saying horrible things that are not true, whatever. Anyway, this person, the roommate, wanted, in that nice way, wanted to set my daughter up with somebody who she felt was suited for my daughter, who was really not suited for my daughter.
In a negative way.
In a negative way. Anyway, P.S., from that guy she wanted to set up, he set up my daughter with her husband.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so you see a Kosh Baruch who rewarded her.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story, but Hashem rewarded her. Wow. Okay, the other thing, very nice, the other thing I wanted to talk about is very briefly, and last especially, it's a cool story. The other thing I wanted to speak, but it could have gone the other way, you understand?
Yes.
That negative speech and slander could have Chalida. Could Chalida ruin a person? Okay, in last week's parasha, which was just laying 2 days ago, Vayhi Bayami Mahem, it wasn't those great days, Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe grew up, he grew up in age, and then he grew up in Gdula. Paro actually wanted to appoint him over his household. Vayetze Alachav, he goes out to his brothers, and he sees their suffering, and he sees an Egyptian man striking down a Hebrew from his brothers, Moshe. Represents in the Shibud Mitzrayim the physical resistance against the enemy. Vayifen Kovako, he turned this way and that way, there's no one there. He strikes down the Egyptian, he hides him in the sand. Okay. Vayetze Biyam Hasheni, yeah, look at that please. Vayetze Biyam Hasheni, he goes out on the second day. Yine Shnei Anashim Ivrim Nitzim. There are two Hebrews, Ivrim, I'm called at this point, quarreling. Vayomer LaRasha, and he says to the wicked person, Lama Sake Re'echa, why do you strike your fellow? So Rash says, and I believe we spoke about the Shorish of Re'echa very much in this class. This is a perfect example here. Re'echa, Rashi, Rasha Kimosecha. Why does it say Lama Sake Chavercha, Lama Sake Yedircha? No, Lama Sake Re'echa. There are two people quarreling. They're both involved. So how do they deal with each other? Shorish Rash. In a bad way. And Rashi says, Rasha Kimosach, you're both Rasha. And furthermore, he lifted his hand, and therefore he's called a Rasha. So they say to him, Misam Chali Ish, who made you in charge of us, a ruler and a judge? Are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And Moshe is very afraid, and he realizes that the matter has been known. What has been known? That he killed the Egyptian yesterday. So Paro heard, and Paro wants to kill him. Moshe runs away. Okay. However, that's according to the Pashup Shah, but according to Drash, Vayomer Moshe said, Achei Noda Hadavar, the matter has been known. So what matter has been known? Who remembers? What does Rashi say there? You with me? He sees these two Hebrews fighting, and he says, why are you hitting your friend, Rasha Kimosecha? And they say, oh, you're going to kill us, just like you killed the Egyptian. You think you're in charge? And Moshe says, wow, the matter has been known. He has to run away from Paro.
But he killed the Mitzri.
Is that what?
That he killed the Mitzri.
So that's the pshat, but Rashi brings us something down. Rashi quotes the Medrash. Noda li hadavar shahayisi tameh alav. I've been wondering, says Moshe, about why the Jews are worthy of such persecution more than any of the other nations. Ma'achatu Yisrael mikol shivim umos lios nir dim ba'avodas parach. What did the Jews do? The Bnei Yisrael do from all the 70 nations to be tyrannized? It's translated as to be oppressed, to be brought down with crushing labor. So that was Moshe's question, and now he says, "Achi no da hadavar." I know the answer. What's the answer? Aval ra'ani sheheim ru'uyim l'kach. I see they are deserving of punishment. Why are they deserving of punishment? Rashi says because they are slanderers among them. Rashi says they la tori. There are informers amongst them. Me'ata perhaps shama einam ru'uyim l'higa'al. They are informers. Somebody went into a parah. Somebody's saying a negative about a Jew to the authority. Someone's using a speech in a destructive way. And therefore, I see, says Moshe, why they're not worthy of redemption. Moshe thought that the whole reason the Jews were worthy of avodas parach, that's what Rashi says, lios nirdim ba'avodas parach, the whole reason they're worthy of being subjugated to back-breaking labor is because they're going and informing our fellow Jews. My husband says over a few times it made such an impression on him. He heard Rav Hirsch Shachter Shlita speaking, I don't remember which venue recently. He was speaking about being a moser, but you don't pronounce it moser. My husband said like meiser, but not giving money. Moser is someone who informs on a Jew to the authorities in an inappropriate situation. My husband said Rav Hirsch Shachter actually started crying. If you've ever we had the opportunity, the tremendous chus to be with him last year, the Rashi last year in Eretz Yisrael, and his ahavas is so tremendous, besides for his godless and Torah's tremendous ahavas is so apparent. When we were in Shari Tzedek, for example, in front of the emergency room, there's a huge picture of David Applebaum, Shami Kom Dama, who was killed with his daughter Nava the night before her wedding, and we were standing in front of the picture, he started crying. If the speaker would speak about something emotional, we would become very emotional. My husband said, he said the word, Moser. And he started crying. The thought that a Jew could inform on another Jew to the authorities in an inappropriate fashion, he actually started crying. So Moshe says, "Achein no da hadavar." Oh, now I know. Shama einam ru'uli ga'el. Why they're not worthy of redemption? Because someone's talking about Jews to the authorities. Someone's slandering fellow Jews to Paro. So for this sin alone, I'm putting in quotes, Moshe said, now I understand why. Why they're worthy to call Bnei Lodar et HaShichu, to the Avodas Parach, to the backbreaking labor, to the Kotz Ruach on Avodah Kasha. Why? Because they're using their speech against their fellow man. So here we have an ancient example from the Torah. I'm going to take a comment in a minute. Here we have an ancient example from the beginning of our peoplehood, and there with the pizza shop, we have a modern day example. And from then to now, we have to strive, every person in their own level. Delete. You type something, just delete it. One thing, it's Toalis, yes.
I thought, I remember you saying that one of the reasons why they were let out of Mitzrayim is because they were careful with their Shmiras HaLashon.
Right, so there is a Medrash that says they did not speak Lashon Hara. So this perhaps is not categorized as Lashon Hara in the classic sense that we translate Lashon Hara, or it could be just this situation, just like we know nobody was intimate with the Egyptian, except for Shlomis Bas Dibri. There was an exception to the rule. Shlomis Bas Dibri had relations with an Egyptian. Her son ends up being the Makalo. So Chazal say they didn't mix with the Egyptians. However, one person did. Perhaps it's an exception to the rule. I don't know. I understand your question. I hear what you're saying, but this is what Rashi tells us, quoting Chazal, that Moshe felt. Yes, you want to say something? You're smiling. But I want to point out, but I want to point out something interesting is, when I was preparing, you could even see in my notes, I wrote wow, exclamation mark. Can you see my handwritten notes? Wow, exclamation mark. Rashi, when he speaks about this inyan, Moshe was wondering, Ma chatu Yisrael mikol shivim umos li os nirdim ba'avodas parach. What did Israel sin more than all the 70 nations that they're worthy of being tyrannized with crushing labor? But it could say avodah kasha, it could say galos, davka avodas parach. Okay, Chazal used this lashon right here. Perach, I just said it. What does perach mean, this word, avodas perach? We see it in the beginning of Shemos and Perach Aleph. It says, kol avoda asher avdu osa, oso, kol avodasam asher avdu behem bafarach. Excuse me.
The men did the lady jobs and the lady did the men.
Right, now, but let's talk about the word perach for a minute. First of all, this is Rosh Hashanah Shir Falhesh. When is the only other time you see the use of this shoresh in the Chumash? Pei, Resh, Chaf. I'll give you a hint. It's also in the book of Shmos. Parochas. In the Mishkan. The Parochas. What is the Parochas?
By the arm?
Yeah, what by the arm?
The covering, outside, the covering.
Okay, the covering where?
In front of the arm?
Yeah, and what did it do? What was the purpose?
Okay, now you got me.
The parochas was the partition between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Here's the Kodesh with the Shochan and the Menorah, the Mizbech HaZahav and the Kodesh and the Holies. Then you had the parochas, the partition, and then you had the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Aron and the Torah. So what is a parochas? A partition. So Shem Shafal Hirsch points out, it's fascinating. It's called, the slave labor that we did is Avodas Parach. Two times. So it's a very strange lashon. I could say avodah kasha. I could say something else. Parach, parochas, or Shem Shafal Hirsch very much focuses on the Sharashim. It's the same Sharash. That means there's a connection between them. So it's a partition. So what were the Mitzvim really trying to do to the Jews?
Separate them.
Divide us, separate, put a partition up between them and us. Really, the whole purpose of the crushing labor, like Alyssa said, the man had to do the woman's work, the woman had to do the man's work. That was the purpose of the whole work. To divide us. What did the Nazis do? They divided us from the whole rest of the world, from the whole rest of the society. But we could derive a very strong Mr. Haskell from here. And that is, we have to make sure to separate ourselves. We have to make sure that we keep our Kodesh HaKadoshim holy. What's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Torah, the Aron, the Hashar Sashchina over the Aron Kaviyacha. There's the Midah of Tzimtzum. God contracts, so to speak, and rests over the Mishkan. So we have to keep ourselves separate. And if we don't keep ourselves separate, what happens?
They separate us.
They remind us. If we don't put up our parochas, Rachman Al-Tzlam, we end up with Avodas Parach. However, here Rashi quotes Avodas Parach, but something else emerges. Parach can also be a contraction of two words, Parach. Peh is your mouth, and rach is soft. Soft. Peh rach, a soft mouth. So it's very interesting that in this Rashi, where Moshe speaks about or realizes that there are informers, Rashi Davka says, Moshe says, I don't understand what sin Israel did from all the 70 nations, that they should be subjugated with Avodas Parach. Rashi could have used a different lashon. What's the allusion here? Davka, in context of this lesson, peh rach, what do the Jews have? A soft mouth. They are not in control of their speech. They have a soft mouth. And now I understand as a mida kenega mida, if a soft mouth proverbially kills your fellow Jew, then mida kenega mida, power came along and ordered that we should be killed. So here lies the power of mouth. It can either bring upon us galus or it could bring upon us geula. Everyone's clear with that? Why is it a mida kenega mida? Because if with your mouth you kill people, like we just saw at the pizzeria, then what happens? Mida kenega mida, Hashem punishes us with Shiva Mitzrayim. Other thing I want to point out is that at the snare, what happens when Hashem says to Moshe, go to free the Jews? Moshe says,
I'm not worthy.
Well, first he says, I'm not worthy. What? Oh, so it's funny. You're saying all the things besides the one that I want to talk about for purposes of this class. Mi anocha sher eilecha paro. Who am I that I should go to paro? Ani aral svasayim kvad peo kvad lashon lo ishtvarim anochi. So he says all those things, but he says something else. He blames the Israelites. He says, heim lo yaminu li velo yushmu bikoli v'yamu lo nira eilecha Hashem. They will say, they won't believe in me, they won't listen to me, and they'll say, God didn't appear to you. What is he saying about the Jews? Ashana. He's making presumptions. He's talking to God about the people. God said, go free them. And he says, I don't think this is such a good idea. What happens to him? Hashem says, put your hand in your bosom and take it out. And what happens to his hand? It's Taras. Rashi says, Hashem is showing him a sign. You grasp the craft of the Nachash. What's the craft of the Nachash? Lashon Hara. What else happened? Take your staff, throw it to the ground. Turns to a snake. What's the remez? You grab the craft of the Nachash. So we see how easy it is. Perhaps has this relate to the first insight we shared. The first insight is he sees Dasan Aviram fighting. I see that there are informers here. Parach. They have a soft mouth. For this alone, they are worthy, Rahman al-Itzlan, of being subjugated. They are worthy of galus because of this parach, because of their soft mouth. What is Hashem showing us here? A few minutes later, it's not really a few minutes later, by the way, it's like, for your own reference, it's 60 years later, according to the Ramban, at the Sneh, it's 60 years later. But what's Hashem showing Moshe? So easy for us to judge other people, but sometimes we don't realize how easy it is for us to fall and fail. The same Moshe, who thought, now I know why the Jews are not worthy of redemption, because they're speaking Lashon Hara. What does he do at the Sneh when Hashem says, go? He himself grabs the craft of the Nachash, and it's very frightening. I'm not saying about Moshe, but saying about us. You know, it's easy for me to read an article about the pizzeria and say, look what this lady did to somebody else. What about what I did to somebody else? Mm-hmm. The Gemara says, "Ein adam roach hovel atzmo." A person does not see their own faults. Maybe that's what we learn from this passage. Not talking about Moshe per se, but talking about what we learn from the situation. Moshe says they're worthy of galus and bavolus parach because of parach, because there are informers amongst them. And yet Hashem says, go free the Jews. And he says, oh, you know those Jews? They're going to not believe me. They're going to say God didn't prison. So what are you doing? You're doing the same thing that you're saying the people are worthy of galus for. So maybe it's a strong Mr. Haskell to us. I could read an article. I could say what everyone else did. But nevertheless, the Gemara says, ein adam roach hovel atzmo. What about what I do?
Well, I don't understand why it's such lashon hara. I mean, it's perfectly understandable that people wouldn't believe this man just coming in and saying, okay, you know. Like, it's an understandable thing that they wouldn't believe him.
It's true, because in this week's parsha, the pasuk says, "V'lo shamu elav mikotzar ruach ha-mevoda kasha." You're right. This week's parsha says they could not listen to me, kotzar ruach, shortness of breath at avoda kasha. They were so broken, they actually couldn't listen to him. Shem is saying, you can't give up. They're coming with a message of geula, and you can't just assume. You can't make assumptions and notions about the people. If Hashem tells you to go free them, then it's not such a good idea to say, I don't think it's such a good idea. They're not going to believe you. You know, you're not talking to another person who doesn't have nevuah, and you're both making the most educated guesses as possible. He says, I'm going to take them out. I've seen their affliction. I'm going to come down to redeem them. So we have to know when it's appropriate to try and negotiate and argue and when it's not. And certainly there's a lesson there. Chazal say, we shouldn't have said it. It wasn't appropriate. You're right. The first thing says, who am I? They should go to power. Hashem says, gather the Zakenim, say to them, also the magic words, pakod pakad li aschem, which is how the Rishis added. No, Moshe, he didn't say right. It's like us, if we assume things, that children can't do it, these people won't do it, that person, it's not true. One more thing I wanted to talk about. So we spoke about the Arkham and Pizzeria. Two instances from last week's Parsha, Dasan and Aviram hitting each other. They're both called Rei Echa. Moshe saw the sin of soft mouth related to the snout. One more thing. So my brother was over on Friday. He brought the kids to play a little bit. Day after the snowstorm. So he was telling me he's been reading about Rav Steinman's Zatzal. So he shared a couple of vignettes, but one of them I thought was so powerful related Davka to this class. A person came to Rav Steinman and he wanted help to stop smoking, and he couldn't stop smoking. So Rav Steinman's Zatzal said to him, there are three areas that a person has control over, each one less than the other. You read this? So what's the first line?
You go ahead. I don't remember for 1 minute
to
the next time I met you.
Okay, fine. So, Rav Steinman said there are three areas that a person has control over, right? There's so much we don't have control over. I venture to say that most of life we don't have control over. A person has control over their actions, said Rav Steinman, their speech, and their thoughts. And it's in ascending order of difficulty. The easiest thing to control is one's actions. It's true. Think about it. On a level, something that's totally forbidden to you, like going into McDonald's and ordering a dinner. You never do that because it's easiest to control your actions. It's off limits. You don't have a taiva to do it. The next hardest thing to control is your speech. And the next hardest thing to control is your thoughts. So Rav Steinman said, this person, you want to stop smoking. That's action. If you can't control your action, you for sure can't control your speech. If you can't control your speech, you for sure can't control your thoughts. And the man, my brother said, the way the story is told, that, you know, he didn't smoke again. But I thought it was very impactful. If we don't control our actions, then how can we presume to control our speech? And if we can't control our speech, then how can we make assumptions that we could control our thoughts? And an Eved Hashem has to strive to complete or to control all areas that are under the jurisdiction of both the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. Well, my brother told this to me, reminded me very much of the Ramban's Machshava behind Karbanos, so to speak. First, he quotes the Rambam, who he argues vehemently against the Rambam's reasoning for Karbanos. But then the Ramban gives his own reasoning for Karbanos. It's Vayikra. I know we're not in Vayikra. Yeah. Perak al Pasuk Tes. Vayikra 1:9. And the Ramban says as follows. Okay, so Rav Steinman explains there are three areas we have to control. Your action is the easiest. And it's true. We thought about it. Like once you finish Susa Ham of Sakyas, right? You're totally not. You don't have a desire to eat anymore. Why not? Because you can come to a level where it's easy to control your actions. Even if you're hungry, you're not going to take something to eat. You don't want it. If you're fleishix and someone puts, you know, I don't know, the best scoop of ice cream in front of you, you don't even have a taiva. A person can control their actions. You can train yourself to easily control your... You have to train yourself. Then you have to train yourself to control your speech. And then you have to ultimately train yourself to control your thoughts, which is the hardest because it's the highest madriga and very difficult to work on. Okay. So then the Ramban gives his reasoning behind Karbanos. Ki ba'avur, it's fascinating. Listen to this. Ki ba'avur, shema'asa b'nei adam nigmarim b'machshava, b'dibur b'masa. What did the Ramban just say? Ki ba'avur, what's the rationale about in Karbanos? Shema'asa b'nei adam nigmarim. The actions of man are completed through machshava, dibur, u'maisa. I'm not making this up. Thought, speech, action. Tziva Hashem ki kasher yechta yavi karban. Because we complete our thoughts through thought, speech, and action, God decreed that when a person sins, he should bring a korban. Yismach yadav alav kineged hamaisa. You put your hands on top of the korban. Korban, that represents the action. The hands represent action. V'yisvade b'fiv kineged hadibur. You have to say an oral vidui kineged, the sin of speech. The Yisrof be'esh, and you should burn in fire hakera v'hakelayos shehem klei hamachshava v'hataiva. Science is very different back then. You should burn the innards and the kidneys, which are the organs of thought and desire. So you burn the internal part of the animal. It represents your internal thoughts. You put your hands on top of the animal. It represents your maisa, and you say vidu with your mouth. It represents your speech. And the legs are burnt corresponding to the hands of the feet who do the work for the man. You sprinkle the blood. It's equal to your blood. What should you think when you're going through this whole process of doing karbanos? You should think that it's not the animal. The animal didn't do anything wrong. I sin with my body and with my nefesh. It's worthy that my blood should be shed for the sin that I did, that my body should be burnt. But the kindness of God and his compassion, he took a ransom, a substitute, this karban. It's blood instead of my blood. Nefesh tachas nefesh, his soul instead of my soul. So the man is explaining here, Rav Yisrof Shneibin said, Zatzal, that our actions are completed through these three areas. And if we can't control our actions, how can we control our speech? But in a positive spin, we can control our actions. So if we can't control our actions, what does it mean?
We should be able to control our speech.
We should be able to control, or we can certainly strive or work on being able to control our speech. And if we can control our speech, then we will hopefully come to the place where we can strive to
control
our thoughts. Okay. It goes both ways, by the way. When you can control your thoughts, you can control your speech. And when you can control your speech, you can control your actions. Let's just take that example, just going back to it, because we started the class. That woman would have had positive thoughts about the situation in the pizza shop. Then what would have happened?
She wouldn't
have used her speech to press send, which represents action. You know, I'll just give you a small example. The day of the snowstorm, I have twins, Kanina her. So they are both in sixth grade in Darche. They're not in the same class. So one had a phone in and one did not have a phone in. So I didn't know why the one who didn't have a phone in didn't have a phone in. I thought it was very unusual that they should not have a phone in. And then someone on the class WhatsApp chat, I'm going to it on purpose, posted, and she wrote, Does anyone have information about a phone in the class that did not have a phone in? I hope I can find it. So first I wanted to write. I actually started to type. She wrote, does anyone have the information? Here we go. Talking about the dangers of ritual communication. Is there a call-in for Rabbi? 10:57 a.m. This is for the class that didn't have a call-in. So I started to write, my other son has a call-in. My other son has a call-in. If anyone knows for this class, please post information. Then I deleted it. Baruch Hashem, I deleted it. Because why? That could give a bad impression of Rebbe, why does one Rebbe? I'm the only one, I think, who has boys in two grades. I don't know of any. If anyone knows, please post thanks. But the first thing I wrote, and Baruch Hashem, I deleted it, was my other son has. But even, that could be an either neutral statement, or it could be a neutral statement with negative implications. Why does that son have and this son does not have? And then I said to my husband, I don't know, maybe Rebbe's not feeling well. I actually said that. Why they didn't have a call-in. On Motzi Shabbos, the Rebbe sent an email. Baruch Hashem, my wife had a healthy baby boy on Thursday morning. My head has not been in school. So imagine if I would have written that. It would have been total motzi shema, total presumptuous, total lashon hara. Maybe someone else would have replied, all the other classes have a call, why doesn't this rabbi have a call? Baruch Hashem, I deleted it. But it shows you.
You meant well, but
people.
What?
You mean well, but sometimes people interpret.
That's for sure true. Yeah. And also, I don't even know if that situation you could say would have meant well. I was saying, why does this cuss have and this cuss does not have? But the other thing that I want to say is, we're walking on a tightrope. We don't perceive how we're walking with our words. How thin, I remember when I was a girl and we had to do, in Eitz Chaim, elementary school, we had to do gymnastics, and I'm not so physically...
agile.
What?
Agile.
Agile. It's not my forte. And I remember I had to go on the balance beam and the bars on the horse, the balance beam, but we're not walking on the balance beam. I was on balance beam, you can put your whole foot down. We are walking on a tightrope. And the difference between falling off and staying on, sometimes for ourselves and for other people, is one word, one sentence. I could have written, my other son has one. Someone else could have replied back. The rabbi had a baby boy. He was in the hospital Thursday morning, the day of the snowstorm, having a baby, Baruch Hashem. So of course he wasn't doing a call-in. So everything is controlled by our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. Instead of Steinman, your action is easiest to control. You're saying you can't stop smoking, but if you can't control your action, how can you control your speech? And if you can't control your speech, how can you control your thoughts? And it goes the other way also. And the Ramban says this is the whole purpose, the whole hashkafa, the whole machshava behind karbanos. It is to atone for the sins of action, speech, and thought. Okay, let's do a couple of minutes inside the sefer. I was still trying to do a lacha day, but I think we started with, and we related a very practical lacha maisa, pizzeria story, and the example that I gave about myself as well. I'm on page 84. Okay. Funny, now he's going to quote the Rambam. We just quoted the Ramban. Gam atik lashon harambam besof hilchos tumas tzara'as asher dvarf chotzvim kalahaves eich. Look at this. The Chavetz Chaim says, I'm now going to quote the Rambam, Maimonides. At the end of hilchos tumas tzara'as, we already mentioned tzara'as vis-a-vis Moshe's hand coming out of his bosom, and his words pierce like a flame of fire. V'zeh l'shono. What is the Rambam, right? Zeh ha-shinui ha-amur ba-begadim. Oh, should I start this now? Yeah, we could get to this paragraph. There's a whole paragraph, and at least we can. Okay. There's a change that occurs in clothing and in houses. We're talking about with tzaras. Shekira'atu Torah tzaras. The Torah calls this negat tzaras. Remember my definition of tzaras. It is a spiritual malady with a physical manifestation. There is not a physical illness here. The person is spiritually ill, manifests physically. Why is manifest physically? Because we live in a physical world. Therefore, we have physical manifestations of spiritual illness. Eino mimin hagol shel olam. Very important. This is not b'derech hateva. You should not think that tzaras is like a cold or a scab or a wound or a paper cut or a burn. It's not something b'derech hateva. Ela os v'fela haya b'Yisrael kedei lahazhiro milashon har. It was an os, it was a sign, and it was a wonder. Dafka in Yisrael. This is something above nature to warn us about lashon har. Because first, the person who speaks Lashon Hara, the walls of his house change. I don't know if we spoke about here in this class, or I've spoken about in other classes. It's fascinating. There are two words for walls in Hebrew. Maybe there are more. I know of two. What are the two words for walls? Kir. Achoma. Ka'etiv nechomos Yerushalayim. There are the chomot and the kir. The fascinating thing about chomot and kir, beautiful. That's exactly right. When we ask Hashem to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, Tivnei Chomos Yerushalayim, the root word of Chomot is Cham. Hashem should surround us with His warmth. The root word of the other kind of wall is Kir, which is Kar, which is wall. Okay, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Hamayim Hayalahem Choma Miyiminam Umismolam. It wasn't they were walking through cold Yamsuf. Hashem was surrounding them with His warmth. It's very, very interesting that here Dafka the Lashon is what becomes afflicted with Taras, the Chomot of his home or the Korot of his home. Korot, why? What did he do with his Lashon Hara? Puts up a cold divider between him and his friends. He's a Kalkite, he's a cold person, if you could speak that. So first, the Korot, Beso are afflicted. Im Chazar Yitar Bais, if he repents, then his house will be purified. Im Amad Berisho, if he persists in his wickedness, Ad Shahut HaTzabais, the house has to be destroyed. Mishtanin Klei Ha'arsha Bebeso, what happens? The leather garments in his house start to change with tzaras. Shu Yoshe V'shochev Alein, so the couch is going to have tzaras, the bed is going to have tzaras. Im Chazar Bo Yitaru, if he repents, so the implements will be purified. V'im amed berisho ad sheyisrafu. But if he does not repent and he keeps up in his bad ways, they will be burnt. Mishtanin habegadim shalav. So we move from the korot of his home to the couch and the bed of his home. Now we're up to the clothing. Im chazar bo yutaru. If he stops doing lashon hara, they will be purified. V'im amed berisho ad sheyisrafu. But if he persists until they have to burn the clothing, mishtana oro v'yitzara. What happens now? Who has saras now? Now it's on him. First it's on the walls, then it's on your leather couch and your bed, then it's on your clothing, and finally it's on you. So I wrote here that it's so interesting. It's as if the layers of his shoals, proverbially or symbolically, as if the layers of his guf are being shed one by one. The externality is being shed to all its exposes the neshama of the person. And when you reach the neshama and you see how sick that person is, that's when the process of rehabilitation could occur. The shedding, we're moving from outside to inside. First get rid of the house, the walls of the home. Then the furniture, the leather in the home. Then the clothing. And then finally the person himself. It's as if you're slowly peeling a fruit or a vegetable with many layers to finally get to the inside. You're peeling away everything defective around the person until you get to the soul. When you get to the soul and you see how sick the soul is, that's when you can start the process of rehabilitation, which occurs under the Kohen Gadol. You have to get to the root of the problem. In other words, you can't just put on a band-aid and treat the externality. When a person is spiritually sick, what do you have to do? Get to the inside, the kishkas of the matter. Peel away all that externality, the walls, the leather, the garments, finally the person itself.
You're not isolated until it hits your body?
That's what it appears to be correct. It's when you, because yeah, v'yiyeh muvdal u'mefursom levado. Muvdal, he will be now separated and it's publicized that he's on his own. Ashal yis'asek b'sichas harasha'im. What's the purpose of separating him? He no longer has opportunity to
speak
with the wicked. Shehu haleitzanus v'lashon hara. Look at that, what he says. It's not only lashon hara, but here, it's also matters of leitzanus. It's mockery. It's making fun of other people. V'al inyan zeh mazhir b'torah v'omar hushamar b'negad taras. The Torah says, guard yourself from negad taras. We saw this inside, by the way. Right away, after it says, zachras asher asah Hashem lekecha l'mirim, we saw this inside. After it says, remember what Hashem did to me. Remember we learned the Ramban there? The Ramban there says, who remembers? The Ramban there says, isn't it lashon hara to talk about what Miriam did? You have a positive biblical commandment, stay away from tzaras. Right after that, you have a biblical commandment, remember what Miriam did. So the Ramban writes, we looked at the Ramban inside, the Ramban writes, it's lashon hara to talk about Miriam. You just told me stay away from tzaras. Now tell me, remember, how could you remember what happened to Miriam? If talk about what happened to Miriam, talk about what happened to Miriam is lashon hara. But the Ramban says it's to show that she was a tzaddikus and a tzanua, and she says she loved her brother like her soul, and she intended for good. Nevertheless, we learn from here, which is basically what the Rambam is going to write here. Harehu omer hisbonenu ma'era lemirim hanavia. Look what happened. Pay attention. Not look. Pay attention. What occurred to Miriam, the prophetess? Shadibra ba'achia. She spoke about her brother. Shahaisa. She was older than him. She raised him on her knees. Who does Moshe owe his life to?
Miriam.
Who was Moshe Nefesh for Moshe? Last week's parsha. Who stood in the reeds to see what happened to her brother? Miriam. She saved herself to save him from the... She endangered herself to save him from the... What if Baspar would have said, oh, look, a little Jewish girl, off with your head? Miriam, we know the end of the story. Part of the problem when we learn Chumash is we know the end of the story. Mm-hmm. So we know Baspar was the first righteous Gentile. But going down to the riverbank, imagine you're there for the first time. You don't know the end of the story. Maybe Baspar is a tyrant like Paro. I don't know what she's going down to bathe in the river. There's a little Jewish girl standing there. Maybe she's going to drown the baby and kill the girl. We know the end. V'sikna atzma. It was in danger to her life. V'hilo dibra b'gnus. So she didn't speak about his depreciation. Ela ta'as. So she made a mistake. She shtavlish ar neviim. She said, gambanu dibar Hashem. Hashem also spoke to us. We didn't separate from her. She made a mistake. V'hulo hikpid al kol hadvar me'ele. Nevertheless, the pasuk did not take all this into account. V'hulo hikpid. Moshe Rabbeinu was not makpid on these things because the pasuk says about Moshe, bless you. Moshe was the most humble person. V'af al pikin miyadne en shabbat tzaras. Nevertheless, immediately she was afflicted with tzaras. Just like you could say about Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, you said before, maybe, Alyssa, go back to your comment. Moshe said about the Jews, maybe they really can't listen. Lamaisa, they really couldn't listen initially. Nevertheless, he's not allowed to say that. You can't assume about somebody else. Kal v'chomer levnei Adam harisha'im hatipshim. Kal v'chomer, Miriam was punished for good intentions, and she raised Moshe, and she sacrificed her life, and she only made a mistake, and she didn't sin. Furthermore, the Ramban, right, she spoke privately. The Ramban, the passage we saw, she spoke privately to her brother Aaron. It wasn't WhatsApp. It wasn't Facebook. It wasn't slander. It wasn't the newspaper. She had a conversation with Aaron. Kal v'chomer ta'as l'bnei Adam harishaim. Hatipshim. Remember we saw in our parasha, Lama Sake Re'echa, what does Rashi say there? Rasha Kemosecha. He who strikes his friend either with his hand or with his mouth is considered a Rasha. Rishaim Hatipshim. Tipshim today is translated as not S-T-U-P-I-D, stupid person, but a foolish person, a senseless person. Shemarbim Ledaber Gedolos V'Niflaos, who are in the habit of speaking so much great, wondrous things. Lefikach Ra'ui, the Misherotzeth. Okay, let's stop here.
It's a little off the topic, but it says she was stricken with Sara'as.
That what?
She was stricken with Sara'as. But I would think Miriam being on such a high level that if it affected her house, the walls of her house, she would have done tshuva right away.
It went straight to her, you mean?
That's what it sounds like.
Correct. So you're saying because she was on such a high madriga, there wasn't a lot of externality to strip away.
I don't know. I know for sure she would have.
Correct. So maybe that's what we learn from there. That someone on the Amajuga, there wasn't all that superficiality and externality that we're so involved in. My best says Mirav Steinman, he didn't eat. He pashut didn't eat. He was like a person not in this world, even while he was in this world. He didn't eat. I was going to say in a different class, but I guess I'll say now. My brother told me he read his wife wanted more counter space. Because if you've seen pictures of their apartment. So he said to her, okay, you could have it if you want it, but if you lose part of your Olam Haba, don't put it on me. For that situation, not for us. My brother sent me this in my nice kanai in our kitchen where I have enough counter space. But just, you're talking about someone who's not in this world. That's why I'm bringing it up to Afka now. So Miriam didn't have all the externality to strip away. She was almost all neshama. Right. So when she made a mistake, we don't have to strip away and strip away and strip away all the shtus and the hevel and the leather and the homes and the wardrobe and the clothing. Just get to the neshama. Just heal the crux of the problem. Very nice.
No, I feel bad that she didn't have the opportunity to have it on the walls, and then, right, then nobody would have known.
But Hashem is medaklik im tzadikim kuchut hasar. We said we're walking on a tightrope, so they're judged by a hair's breadth. We're going to do a short one. I'm going to skip over the long one. We'll just do a short one. We also did have practical lacha b'maisa. Again, that's Facebook. I'll give an example of myself on WhatsApp. Okay, we have seen that even when it is clear to someone a person has wronged another financially, he may not attempt to effect justice outside of the confines of halacha. Outside of the confines of halacha. This applies not only to a witness, but to the victim himself. So even if you've been wronged, in other words, you still have to act within the parameters of halacha. If one feels he has fallen victim to another person's dishonesty, and after verifying the facts, he concludes he has a valid claim, he still cannot publicly speak against that person for the sake of attaining restitution. Excuse me. Rather, he should confront the individual privately, and if necessary, consult a rabbi. This is very relevant. I know certain cases now where people...
Sometimes you say to protect somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
If you're speaking, you're saying it to protect the next person to not fall into the same thing.
Correct. So you have to ask a shayla. Ask a shayla. I hear what you're saying. If someone comes to you and they want to go into business with this person, and you know that there's problems in business with this other person, so you need to ask a shayla. Okay. Because that's exactly what it says here. Confront the individual privately, and if necessary, consult a rav. In other words, the individual you felt who harmed you, not a third party. If it's possible, the name of the accused should not be mentioned. I know of a certain case now where there is some rather financial disputes, and they have gone to a rav in the community, and they're trying to work it out. But you still can't go around and slander the person. It still has to be taken up with a rav. So even when you think I'm right, even more, even when you are right, and even when you're owed money, and even when you've been wrong, you still can't go around slandering another person. A witness may not divulge to the victim. A witness may not divulge to the victim the identity of the perpetrator. If the victim could be expected to employ halachically unacceptable tactics to achieve his money. So how far we have to go to make sure we don't have perach, the soft mouth, because the schar, and I'm saying that in a negative fashion, the schar for perach, Moshe says, Achino de Hadavar, this is why Israel, more than all other nations, has been deemed ro'i for this terrible Shiva Mitzrayim. So, Be'ezras Hashem, if the Galus brought upon us. It started with Lashon Hara. It continued in Egypt because of Lashon Hara. As Hashem Halavai, we should be zocha to control our mouths and our WhatsApps and our actions and our speech and our thoughts, and we'll be zocha to the Gula. Any questions or comments? Thank you, ladies.